Well, I heard that there were two friends who were out playing golf one day, and these two men decided that they were going to strictly adhere to the rules of golf, at least for this one day. Instead of improving their lie, they were going to follow the rules to a tee. Well, a few holes into their round, one of the men's golf balls landed on the cart path. Well, they went up to the ball, and he reached down to pick up his ball and to move it, but his friend said, no, we agreed that we would not move our balls. We would follow the rules, so you have to stay on the path. Well, the man said, look, the rules allow me to get relief. I can get off the cart path. No, you have to stay on the path. And the man said, well, look, if I stay on the path and try to hit this golf ball, it's going to ruin my club. And the second man said, I don't care. We agreed and said, we're going to follow the rules, so you have to stay on the path and hit this golf ball. The man walked over the cart, grabbed a club, and came back over. Started some practice swings, and as he did his practice swings, he scraped the club all over the cart path. Sparks were flying up. Chunks of asphalt were coming out as he swung and practiced. Finally, he turned around, and he hit his shot, messed the club all up, but it was a beautiful shot. And the ball flew through the air, landed on the green, and rolled to about 6 feet from the cup. Well, the second man said, that was amazing. You ruined the club, but that was an amazing shot. What club did you use? He said, I used your 7-iron. I decided a golf joke might be better than a marriage joke today. But staying on the path, that's what we're thinking about today. Let me ask you, as you think about what David wrote in this psalm, how was your week this past week? Was it a great week, exceeding your expectations? Was it a terrible week? You received bad news? Was this past week filled with excitement and new adventures? Was this past week filled with upsetting events? Some of you may have had one of the extremes of life, either the very high or the very low. But I imagine that as I ask these questions this morning, many of us are thinking, well, neither, really. This past week was just kind of average, routine. It was a normal week. We're reminded today that most of life is lived between the extremes. Most of life is lived in the ordinary spaces. It's not either the very highs or the very lows, but most of the time, we live our lives in the middle, between the peaks and the dark valleys. Well, David, as he writes our 37th psalm this morning, he is reflecting on life, and he's thinking about some of the lessons that he's learned, and he's thinking about some of what he's observed in life. And he realizes, as he writes this psalm, that most of life is lived in the middle spaces. Most of life is lived neither on the high places or in the low places, but kind of in the middle. So today, David offers some sound, practical wisdom, godliness, from his own experience and observation of life. And as David observes life, he says, I noticed something very interesting. It seems to me, David says, there are two different kinds of people in the world. There are those people who remain faithful to God, regardless of the circumstances in life. And there are others who try to do their own thing and go their own way. David says, some people try to stay on the path. Some people focus on the path of righteousness, while other people, well, they're constantly trying to create peak experiences in life. David says, there are those who wait upon the Lord, and there are those who prefer to trust themselves. There are those who live with trust and faith, confident of God's promises, and there are those who are uncertain, leery, and seem to trust themselves more than God. One group lives and trusts God in between the peaks and valleys of life. While David says there is another group that seems to venture out on their own, trying to maintain the peaks of life. as he observes these two different groups, the psalmist says the first group are called the righteous. What he really means by that are these are people who trust God. They do things the way God wants them to. Instead of simply trying to stay on top of the mountains, during the highs and lows, and especially in the in-between of life, they stay on the path. They trust God with what happens in their lives. As the psalmist writes, I have been young and old in all of my years observing the way people live. He says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. They may go through difficult times. They may have rough experiences. They do not escape the dark valleys of life, but they stay on the path. Regardless of what happens, the righteous, the psalmist said, stay on the path that God has before them. But not everyone lives this way, David observes. He writes, sometimes when the going gets rough, sometimes when people have to come down from the mountain, they do whatever they can to get back on top of the mountain and to try to stay there. David says, as I watch people, I notice some people want nothing more than simply to stay on top of the mountain. Now, let's be clear. There's nothing wrong with wanting to stay on top of the mountain. We all want to stay on those mountaintop experiences of life. But that's where the story that Logan read earlier from the Gospel of Matthew is so important, as it tells us about that experience of the Transfiguration when Jesus and Peter and James and John go up on top of the mountain. The experience is incredible. God's power and presence is real. Jesus is glowing with the Shekinah glow of God. And the experience is so incredible that it was natural for Peter to say what he said. And in my words, here's what Peter said. Peter looked at Jesus and he said, you know, Jesus, I've got an idea. This is so great. Let's just stay up here. We can build some altars here and we can worship. We don't need to go back down. Let's just stay up on top of the mountain. This experience is so incredible. Let's just stay. We all know what that's like. Whether it's a retreat or a mission trip or just a special experience in our life when God's power is strong and real and we feel closer to God than we have in a long time, and we have that incredible sense of God's leadership and guidance in our lives, and we find ourselves saying, I don't want to lose this. I want to keep this. I want to stay right where I am. That's what Peter was saying. But that's not life. And that's why Jesus says to him, Peter, we can't stay here. The mountaintop experience is not to be lived every single day. We have to come down from the mountain. That's what Jesus said to Peter. That's what David says in Psalm 37 as he observes life. Life is most often lived in between the peaks and the valleys, and that's exactly where faith becomes so important. God wants us to understand that there's nothing wrong with wanting to be on a spiritual high, but there is something wrong when we try to manufacture spiritual highs in our lives that go against the will of God. You see, sometimes in a desperate attempt, people try to maintain a spiritual high, and they begin looking for other kinds of highs if they can't hold on to that spiritual high. Maybe it's drug use or abuse. Maybe it's jumping from one job to the next, never being satisfied. Maybe it's going from one church to another, constantly looking for this spiritual experience that can be maintained in my life. It's the idea that the grass is always greener on the other side, and I'm going to constantly change my life looking for that greener grass instead of trusting that God has planted me, as we said last week, right where I am. You see, sometimes life becomes so ho-hum, routine, and boring that people do whatever they can to try to escape that dull routine. But sometimes there's nothing wrong with a little boredom in life. The psalmist says to us, there are times in life when the right thing to do is to see that God has planted you where you are and trust that God has you on the path where He wants you. Now, there are times when we need to change our course of life. There's no question about that. But we must be very careful when we think about, is changing the course of our life in accordance with God's will? David uses a very strong word here in Psalm 37 to describe those who, of their own will, change their course and direction in life without listening to God's guidance. The word he uses in Psalm 37 is wicked. It's a strong word. It's a word we might feel uncomfortable with, but it basically means someone who has chosen to go against the will of God and to do whatever pleases himself or herself. And the psalmist says, I have seen wicked people flourishing like a green tree in native soil. They flourish for a little while. But, he says, that person soon passed away and was no more. What does that mean? I think what he's saying is abandoning the path that God has you on and trying to create your own mountaintop experience, trying for yourself to always find greener pastures is a dangerous business. It may work for a while. It may be a fun adventure. It may seem different from your current life, but the psalmist says there will come a time when we reap what we sow. Eventually, the psalmist says we discover that leaving the path that God has us on and going on our own path leads us to a place where we feel lost and lonely and hurting. David, the psalmist, says, look, I've seen this happen. As I observe life, he says, those who seek their own pleasure and go their own way eventually arrive at pain and heartache. But those who stay on the path, those who stay where God wants them to be, those who follow in God's ways, they will be exalted. They will inherit God's land forever. The psalmist says there is a blessed future for the person of peace. Well, this morning we asked, then how can we be those kind of people? How can we be that person who stays on the path? I think as we listen to David, the key word is commitment. To stay on the path demands from us an unwavering desire and willingness to follow God and to trust God with all of our lives, no matter what happens. There's a familiar passage in the book of Joshua where Joshua stands before the people of Israel. And he says something similar to these words. These are my words, but it's his message. He says, each one of us has a choice to make. We must choose whether we will serve God or whether we will choose to go our own way. And Joshua says, I cannot make that decision for you. You have to make that decision yourself. So choose you this day whom you will serve, either God or yourself. But as for me and my household, Joshua says, we have decided to serve the Lord. You see, that's the kind of commitment that David is talking about that is required of those who stay on the path. Now, it's tough to live with that kind of commitment. It's demanding and it's challenging. For every time we try to stay on the path, every time we try to keep our eyes focused and stay committed, this world has something flashy and shiny that distracts us from God's ways and calls our attention. And before we know it, we begin to swerve off of the road because we're looking at the wrong thing. But David and Joshua and Jesus remind us to stay on our path. To stay on God's path requires commitment. Takes strong commitment to stay on God's path. One Chicago youth minister came up with a clever way to keep his youth group on track, to keep them staying on the path. They were leaving from Chicago to go on a mission trip to Florida. And he was a little concerned that many of his youth, having never seen the beach, would be distracted by all that was happening there from their main purpose. So before they left, this youth minister made a huge cross out of two big pieces of lumber. And that morning, as they met at the church and were getting ready to load the bus to go on this mission trip, the youth minister said to them before they got on the bus, "I want all of you to remember that the purpose of us going on this trip is to glorify Christ. It is to lift up the cross of Christ. It is for us to remember that we're serving Jesus everywhere we go. So, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take this cross with us everywhere we go." Well, the teenagers looked at one another with hesitation and confusion, but they agreed to do what the youth minister had said. So they dragged this huge cross onto the bus with them. They put it in the aisle of the bus. And as they made their way from Chicago to Florida, this cross in the middle of the bus, it kind of went back and forth, banging on the seats. Every time they stopped to eat at a restaurant, they took the cross off the bus into the restaurant with them. Everywhere they went, they took this cross with them. Where they stayed overnight, they took the cross into the hotel room. The cross stood on the sand in the beach as they ministered to the people there on the beach. And the teenagers said at first, lugging this cross around was an embarrassment to them. But later, as the week went on, the cross became a point of identification. It was the cross that reminded them of who they were and why they had come. And eventually, the teenagers regarded dragging this cross around as an honor and a privilege. Well, the night before they went home, the youth minister handed out two nails to each of the teenagers. And he told them, if they wanted to be committed, if they wanted to stay on God's path, then they were to take one of those nails and nail it into the cross and take the other nail and put it in their pocket and keep it with them to remind them of the commitment they made. Well, one by one, the youth drove their nail into the cross and kept the other. Well, about 15 years later, one of the teenagers in that youth group called the youth minister. And he said, this young man told the youth minister, he said that he still keeps that nail with him 15 years later. For he said, whenever I lose my sense of focus, whenever I start to drain in my commitment, I remember that nail in my pocket. I touch that nail, I hold that nail, and I remember the cross that we carried with us everywhere we went on that trip to the beach. And that nail reminds me, he said, of the core commitment of my life. I am committed to Jesus Christ. This morning, I wonder, as we listen to the words of David, do we carry the cross of Christ with us everywhere we go? Do we keep that cross as our point of commitment and focus rather than all the things that this world has to offer us? For this morning, David reminds us, wait on the Lord. Keep His way. Stay focused on the cross of Christ, for that is the way that we stay on the path. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, this morning we are grateful for the reminder from your word about what it means to live a life of commitment and a life of faith. God, we are so grateful for the cross and for all of the sacrifice that it represents. And we pray today that as we seek to serve you and stay on the path you have for us, that we would always keep the cross of Christ as our focus and as our point of commitment. So lead us and guide us, and Lord, walk with us wherever we may go so that we may truly stay on your path. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.